Marco Werman, you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. John Gomeshi was a media icon in Canada. That was before he was put on trial for sexual assault charges. So it's no surprise his trial was big news north of the border. But Americans were also following the case because Gomeshi is a former host of Q, a CBC show that is distributed in this country, like The World, by PRI, Public Radio International. This was the first of two trials for Gomeshi, and the verdict is in not guilty. University of Ottawa law professor Carissima Mathan says his trial defied expectations.
People expected that the sheer weight of the number of complaints would be compelling. And then what happened in the course of the first trial is that the defense offered a lot of information to uncover some inconsistencies or some oddities in things that the complainants had said in prior sworn statements. And you had that happen three times with the three complainants, you know, very devastating cross-examination. And ultimately, the judge found that it proved fatal to their credibility.
The defense lawyer, Marie Hennion, really went after the complainants. You write that she had laser-like focus, asking for a level of detail some people saw as unfair. Tell us about those cross-examinations of the three complainants. What surfaced during that questioning?
In one case, the complainant said that she was traumatized after the assault. She couldn't bear to speak, or she certainly couldn't bear to speak to him. She couldn't bear to hear his voice. And then Marie Hennion produced an email that the complainant, or two emails that the complainant had sent to John Gomeshi 6 months and a year later, which were friendly. And in one case actually included a picture of her in a red bikini. Now that in and of itself is not relevant, but in the context of her prior statement, it was put in somewhat of a bad light.
So what were victims of sexual assault who were watching this trial? What did they hope it would lead to?
Well, I think that they hoped that it would show that the criminal justice system can vindicate claims of sexual assault. There have been notorious cases in the past with really inappropriate things being said by judges in some cases, and very aggressive tactics by defense counsel.
I mean, what you're describing scans pretty accurately with what a lot of people say about Canada's record when it comes to reporting and getting convictions in sexual assault crimes. They say it's dismal. I mean, the newspaper The Guardian says fewer than 10% of sexual assaults are reported. A 2012 study from your university found a conviction rate of around 0.3%. It seems the victims of sexual assault had a lot riding on this case.
I think that the notoriety of the case, you know, frankly, was a blessing and a curse because it created a tendency to view the case as emblematic of all sexual assault trials. I absolutely agree that there are systemic issues still with investigating, prosecuting, and convicting in sexual assault cases, and that is a major problem. That said, it's risky when so much of the debate is focused on one criminal case. Any criminal case is, in some respects, unique. I believe that the amount of information that the defense had in its possession going back 13 years and was unusual in a case of this kind, but it created this sense of an ambush on the complainants.
And what lies ahead for John Gomeshi?
John Gomeshi will face a second trial involving a fourth complainant in June, I believe, of this year. It will be a completely separate proceeding. So it will be interesting to see what were the circumstances around that allegation and, you know, how does the complainant survive what is sure to be another grueling cross-examination.
Carissima Mathan, Associate Professor of Law at the University of Ottawa, thank you very much for this.
My pleasure.